Hey, this is Adam Starling. I'm the senior pastor at Victory Family Church. Thank you so much for joining us today. I pray this message will inspire you, encourage you, and hopefully challenge you to become everything that God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
What up, VFC? Thanks so much for being here today. Super Bowl Sunday here at church. We call it Super Sunday because I'm not allowed to say Super Bowl for whatever copyright reasons. So I love Gavin and Alyssa. Do y'all see the softball game the other night where they went in extra time, down 3-2, and then sick. So fun. They're so good. 56 in a row. Maybe 57. They won yesterday. Yeah. Okay. So 57 in a row. That ain't bad. But none of y'all play softball. So DJ, Sheridan, Jeremiah. So obviously DJ plays football. So just talk a little bit. Y'all kind of introduce who you are, where you're from, what you do, just a little bit. We'll start with DJ and go down to Jay Hall.
My name is DJ Ontario. I'm from Meridian, Mississippi. I came here to OU last year. I'm a senior defensive lineman.
Let me say this real fast. If any of you want to send a mean email, I prefer you say it to my face today. Just make sure we stay close, okay? Yeah, stay close. Okay.
My name is Sheridan Ramsey. I'm a senior on the gymnastics team. I'm from Tulsa, Oklahoma, too.
Hold that microphone just like that. Camera guy, can you zoom in on the rings real quick? Can you zoom in? You have two national championship rings on right now.
Two national championship rings.
Would you guys like to hold those just to see what it feels like? you want to hold them? Yeah.
I got a few Big 12s, but they don't shine like that. Wow.
Jeremiah.
Oh, yeah. I'm Jay Hall, y'all, at OU from 2017 to 2021. And now a Norman resident. Oh, I just got my Oklahoma license too, so I'm an Okie.
That's big. You're Okie now.
Yeah.
I love what you're doing. Tell everybody what you're doing right now for a living.
Now? Okay. Yeah. So I haven't posted this on social media, but I was working with Edward Jones, and so I've always been interested in finance, right? And so there's like a whole story behind this, but I've always dreamed of like running a fund. So I don't know if we got any finance guys in here, but a hedge fund, right? And so I prayed for that opportunity in college to be able to do so. But first I was like, God, I need some money first. I was like, get me to the NFL and like, let me make like a million or maybe five first. And then I'll go ahead and do that, right? And so got cut by the Giants. And then I was like, okay, what am I gonna do? So I was like, all right, let me work in finance. Let me go work at Edward Jones, okay? And so I was getting ready to start working with Edward Jones in January. And then I started getting anxious. I was like, man, I don't know if this is for me. And so I prayed about it. And then I looked at my finances. And then I looked at what I prayed for all those years ago. And I was like, man, like, it may not be a million, but I think I got a shot at trying my dream, you know? And so I'll be in Norman for the next 6 months to a year, working on my own fund. I no longer work for Edward Jones. Shout out to them, though. I got my license and everything from them. But no, I guess it's a God thing.
That's great. Yeah. It's actually, when I got into ministry, that's what I first thought too. I'll make a quick million or 5 million as a youth pastor. I thought that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I'm waiting still, but let's talk about favorite moment at OU, Jeremiah, for you in the past. You guys, currently, I know you've only been here a year. He played a couple years at Tennessee, and then now playing here. So this is your second year. So last year, what was your favorite moment?
My favorite moment was the goal line stand at Texas. Played in the
so strong, bro. So strong. They had first and goal from what? Three? Two?
Yes, sir, the three.
Went for it all four times. You smashed them. That was fun. That was really fun. Really fun. Did I mention if anybody has anything to say to me today? I'm kidding. It's funny because, like, he's a massive human, but also like one of the kindest humans I've ever met, and so he's just a great dude. Sheridan, okay, no national championships.
No.
What That's too easy an answer. So another great memory at OU.
I think my favorite memory is the first time I competed my sophomore year. Little backstory. I tore my Achilles my freshman year twice in 3 months. And I think just the first time I got to compete was really cool to see God move and to see that I can come back from that, because I feel like that kind of propelled my faith in a way. So, yeah.
That's great. I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it. Jay, what was your favorite memory at OU?
I say the comeback with Caleb Williams in 21? Yeah. That was my last year.
Texas game.
Yeah. Yeah. After the game, I grabbed the flag and like just ran around the field. I started catching a cramp.
Don't even matter.
Yeah.
Don't even matter. I love how the favorite memories are Texas wins. It's not. How many Big 12 championships did you win?
Big 12s, I won 4.
Yeah, that ain't bad.
Yeah.
Okay, so DJ, talk about this though. You played in the SEC for a couple years, played in the Big 12, going back to the SEC. What's the biggest difference from between Big 12 and SEC, you think?
Be careful what you say.
What did you say?
I said, be careful what you say. We're going there now.
Yeah, you got to be careful for sure.
That's a good question. I say the size difference. Everybody big and tall.
Even the quarterbacks are your size in the SEC. Like the DBs are 300 pounds. Yeah, I think that's obviously massive, dudes. So, Sheridan, talk a little bit about when you came to know the Lord, like just kind of your journey of faith. How did you come to know Jesus and kind of how it plays out in your daily life right now?
So I grew up in the church. For all my PKs out there, my preacher's kids, I grew up in the church knowing the Lord. But I would say whenever I got to college and having to navigate that on my own, that was when my faith truly came to fruition, because I feel like I experienced a lot of things that I didn't back home, and my parents were no longer there to cultivate that relationship for me. And so, yeah, God moved.
That's great. JL, how did you come to the Lord?
I'd say a big influence on my life was my mom. So when I was 8 years old, I remember.
Is she watching?
She what?
Is she watching online or no?
Oh, no. I don't even think I told her about this. I need to call her. Yeah, I'm slacking. Yeah, my girlfriend's here somewhere. I need to blame her. Where you at? Yeah, no.
But can you text his mom real quick and say, yeah, we're doing this 2 more times, so yeah, have her catch it.
Yeah, catch the 10 o'clock, mom. My mom raised me for the most part, and I remember one time we were in the car at the church. I was like, mom, like who is Jesus? What is he like? Who is this dude? And I remember her telling me when I was at that young age, like, he is the way to eternal peace. And so I told her I want that. And so she prayed for me, and then I started crying because she was crying. And it was really a beautiful moment. But I'd say transitioning from that 8-year-old me to, like, what, 25-year-old me, I say I'm, like, in the process of rediscovering what it means for me. And now I'm starting to understand more what, you know, killing my flesh and giving it to him, like, truly means.
That's great, man. DJ, how did you come to the Lord?
My 12th grade year, the spring of my 12th grade year, they had a donation for kids to go to an FCA camp, like an hour away from my hometown. And a man named Mr. Pete, he was the FCA leader at the school. He recently passed away, but he paid my way to go on the FCA trip, and it was for 4 days. And I got saved at the FCA trip.
That's awesome. Yeah. And he did tell his mom. Actually, he brought his mom. And I don't want to embarrass her, but she's here. And
he's a better son than I am.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt. And then I just met his mom this morning, and you can tell why he's such a good dude, because his mom is the sweetest lady. What are you guys most looking forward to right now? Let's just say football. JL, you can talk about just in life, but we'll do football and gymnastics. What are you looking forward to in football than in gymnastics right now?
I think the thing that I'm looking forward to the most is just finishing this season. Whatever God wants me to do, I think that's the big thing, whether I'm competing or cheering my teammates on, just finishing it strong and finishing it the way that he wants me to. So, yeah.
Are y'all going to win a Natty or no?
That's the plan. We're sticking to the plan.
That's great. And you guys right now, you're just lifting and lifting and lifting and lifting and lifting. And so what are you excited about this next season?
I'm excited to prove everybody wrong. Everybody think we're going to fall off when we get to the SEC, but we're going to shock everybody. So that's what I'm ready for.
I love this guy.
Yeah. SEC.
So let me ask.
No, SEC.
Are you for that chant?
Not really. I don't know. I just tried it just
neither,
to see what the crowd.
Yeah.
I was just trying it just to see what everybody else would say, but I don't really like it, for real.
Yeah. I think we're all in agreement here. Yeah. So you guys, well, let's just talk about this. So last year was your first year not at OU, right? Or 2 years? You've been out 2 years.
Last year, season before this past season. Yeah.
Okay. So talk about all the things that you've learned since football. Yeah. And so maybe not all the things.
Yeah.
I know you've learned a lot. But just talk about maybe some of the things that you've learned since being out of the game, because it's been such a big part of your life for pretty much your whole life.
Yeah, I was telling them in the back, the biggest difference for me between college and real life is like being intentional with your relationships. You know, I'd say before, every day I was expected to see Danny Stutzman right next to me in my locker, or Patrick Fields or Jay Hurts. But once you leave, it's like, okay, now Patrick is 3 hours away. Now my homies are 17 hours away on the East Coast. Now everybody's like, you know, we're all spread out. And so like, how do we continue to cultivate these relationships? You know, and then when we do talk, like, okay, bro, I don't want to talk about you being sick last week. Let's talk about like your relationship with God. How much have you grown? You know, I'm more straight to the point now. And so, I just met these two for the first time, and immediately, as soon as I got back there, like, I'm speaking life. I'm like, hey, what's been going on in your life? Like, where has God shown up for you? Oh, I'll let him tell you about his mom, but like, you know, tell me about that. You know, I'm more intentional with what I want to know about a person. And I wish I would have learned that more in college, because I think that my relationships would have been better back then.
Talk about what you learned about your identity since football.
Since football, my identity is still developing. One thing you asked how life is going for me, or what am I looking forward to? I'm looking forward to experiencing what it's like to be 100% in with Christ. You know, I think that when I was just even 2 years ago, 3 years ago, like them, I think I was like 90%, you know, 85. I don't even know, 80%. It's up to him to judge. But now I think I'm truly taking the steps to be all in. And for the first time in my life, like, I'm experiencing that. And I think it's so crazy, because it's like, as soon as I started doing that, I met my girl Nia over here. And so raise your hand, Nia. Yep, that's my girlfriend over here. So not only do I feel good about where I'm at, but I have somebody to keep me accountable to. And it's like the greatest feeling ever.
There's only several hundred people in the room, so I don't want to put you on the spot. Is this pretty serious or what?
Yeah, I think she might be the one, you know?
Whoa.
Nah, that's my girl over there, y'all. That's my girl. Yeah, I like her a lot. I love her a lot.
You just said, the one in front of a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, hold on. I got to call my mom first.
Have you texted her yet? Don't text her. Don't text her. Yeah, let's... Yeah. We'll delete that question from the. He gotta talk to mom first. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got you. So, I'll ask Sheridan the question, and then DJ wants you to answer the same thing. So, your schedule is insane, right? It's the gymnastics schedule, and I think even for like girls that I feel like half the gymnasts are like, even in middle school and high school, they like homeschool and they do gymnastics like 23 hours a day, then sleep for an hour. It's just like. And I know your schedule, it's insane. So with all the pressure, and I think all you guys experienced tremendous pressure. I think you guys have won so many national championships. I mean, OU's won 7. The pressure to always win. And so you have the pressure and then the insane schedule. With all of that, how do you keep Jesus the center of everything in your life?
Intentionality. being intentional with cultivating that relationship. I feel like if I didn't have Jesus, I wouldn't be able to do this big schedule and all these different things. And also just like keeping the main thing. Because all of this, it's going to fade in 2 months and 10 days. It's going to be over. And I think the big thing that I've learned this year is to wherever God has me, to be my best, wherever that is. If I'm, like I said earlier, if I'm competing, if I'm getting things from my teammates at the meet, I think the big thing is just keeping the main thing, the main thing.
That's great. How do you keep Jesus at the center of it? I know you guys, I'm up there a lot with y'all on the schedule from early in the morning. I think the first workout group goes at 5:30 a.m. Is that right? Not right now. 6? So I mean, it's, and then you're watching film until late at night. I mean, it's like, then you got a school, you have all this stuff, and how do you, amongst all that, how do you keep Jesus the center of your life?
Well, first of all, in the morning when I wake up, me and my mom pray. We get up, we read the Bible, we pray, I make my bed, and then I head off to school. And then, like, we got guys like Ethan Downs. Ethan Downs sit like 2 lockers down from me, so we talk about God, like, before and after the workouts and things like that. And then I go home, and me and my mama would pray again and read the Bible and go to sleep. So, I mean, I try to keep God at the head of everything. Like Sheridan said, like, it's intentionality. Like, we wouldn't be here if it weren't for God. So I try to keep God at it.
Okay, I'm going to throw y'all a curveball, which is good. Because all you guys have talked about this a little bit. Just talk about how your parents have helped you in your relationship with the Lord. We'll start with Jay Hall and kind of come back down. Like, how have your parents influenced you? Because I think a large portion of the crowd is parents. And so talk about their influence in your life.
I'd say you don't have to be perfect. You know, if I'm talking to a parent and you're like wondering, how do I make sure that my child like understands who this Jesus guy is? I'd say like, just try your best, you know? And for me, what did that look like growing up? You know, I was always gone playing basketball tournaments or baseball tournaments or whatever. But with my mom, whenever we had that time together, she took the time to read with me. She took the time to speak life to me. And looking back, honestly, it wasn't a lot. Like, it wasn't like an everyday thing, but she did her best, and that's all I could ask for.
That's great. Sherry, so your parents are in ministry. They've been pastors, so talk about the impact they had on your life.
So my parents are here today.
Are they in the room right now?
They're right there.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, guys.
So they made it.
All right.
And I just think I'm so lucky oh my gosh, I don't want to get emotional, but I'm so lucky to have them because when I came to college, everything you know is put in you before you leave. And I'm just thankful for them and the way that they raised me because without them, I mean, I wouldn't be on the stage. I wouldn't be in the church. I would fall to those different things, that all those different temptations in college. And I feel like without them speaking life to me and sitting on my board of directors in every decision of my life, I wouldn't be here.
And that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's great. You're a big mama's boy. Yeah, just talk about the influence your mom has on your life.
Before I transferred, I found out my mom, well, she drove 13 hours to Florida when we played in the Orange Bowl when I was at Tennessee. And on the way there, she found out that she had breast cancer. She got the call that she had breast cancer. And she didn't tell me till after the game. And that was just so crazy to me because it's like, she found it out. Like, I wish I would have knew before the game, you know what I'm saying? But she just kept she always, like, even when she had the surgery and things like that, like, she always kept God first. Like, she always, like, just keep God first, dude. Like, that's what she called me. But she was just like, I always keep God first. And she never, I never seen her down a day. I never seen her cry because she always had God at the forefront. So that made me even want to get closer to God these last couple years.
That's great, man. You guys talk, Jeremiah mentioned a little bit, the importance of just godly relationships. So we talk about small groups a lot, and I think it's easy just to be like, oh, we do small groups. We do. But like even for me, like having godly people in my life has been so monumental for me. So you guys just talk about, I'll start with Jeremiah, like just the importance of some of those relationships you were talking about to help you in your walk with the Lord.
I look at it, well, first, accountability is the biggest thing, and I'm pretty sure most of you guys know that. But the second thing that I've learned is it's similar to sports, you know, because the more you talk about something, it's like getting in the reps, right? And then when the rubber meets the road, like when it's time to talk about faith to a stranger, when it's time to be a disciple, when it's time to go and proclaim his name, you've talked about it so much, it just becomes a normal conversation. And so the more you can talk about that with your significant other or to your friend and just say, hey, what did you learn from church today? What did you talk about? What's your perspective? And you just keep talking about it, talking about it, talking about it. And you preparing yourself with the armor of God. When you find somebody who actually needs you and needs help, you just resort back to that conversation you had with your best friend or your partner the other day and just say, hey, I was just talking about this the other day. Like, there's life for you, you know? I got you. Hold on. Let me sit down. I got my notes. I got it. We talked about this. We talked about that. And then you just become so confident, you know? That's like your game day, all right? As a Christian, like, our small groups is our practice, our off season. But, like, when it's time to go snatch somebody who actually needs God and who needs to become a believer, like, all right, game time, let's go. That's what I've learned.
I love it. That's great. Sheridan, talk about some of your relationships, the importance of that.
I think it's important to have godly relationships just because there's a lot of things that are grabbing at you and a lot of time that is being taken away from you. But when you have those relationships, your cup gets filled and you're able to pour into other people. And I mean, I just want to shout out to you guys just a couple years ago. I just remember you coming up to me at the beginning of a service and being like, man, you look really familiar. And just like after that, we just, you guys kind of brought me in. I told you guys that I was looking for a church home and I was looking for people that could pour into my life. And I mean, it's changed me tremendously and be able to have Bible studies with my teammates and be a leader on my team to get others to know Christ. So I just want to shout out to you guys real quick. But yeah.
Move on. Who cares about that? I'm just kidding. And one of the things I love about the football program, it's so Jesus-centered. Like there's so much of that. Just Bible studies, there's so many opportunities for you guys to develop those relationships. Just talk about how that's helped you and the importance of so many players being able to come together and, again, have accountability and grow in discipleship as just in a relationship.
Yes, sir. Well, just like they said, I mean, just being around like-minded people, it's a big thing. Y'all being able to pour into each other, y'all being able to talk about things, y'all being able, without being judged, because I feel like that's a thing in a locker room today. Like, a lot of people can't be themselves because they're scared that they're going to get judged. But with us having the Bible studies and things and the locker room being Christ-oriented, like, it's easy for everybody to be themselves. So, yes, sir.
That's awesome. So, this is usually one of the better attended Sundays of the year. Certainly, there's a group of people that don't like this and they don't show up today, which is fine. But then there's a lot of people that never come to church, and they hear you guys are coming, and they and like, I'll go check that out. And maybe they have a son or a daughter that you know, goes to the football games, go to the gymnastics, and so like I'll just bring them, and they don't know the Lord. Sharon, I want to start with you. What would you say to somebody that they're here and they just thought this is a cool, fun thing for me to go to, but they don't have a relationship with Jesus?
Jesus can change your life every day. He's the same. He's consistent. I think with all the things that are going on in my life, I know I can always count on Jesus for any troubles that I have, any triumphs, anything that's going on. He's your friend, but he's also a big and mighty God that can move mountains. That's my whole spiel. That's all I got.
DJ, what would you say to the person in the room that doesn't know the Lord?
I tell them my story, how far I came in my life, and just tell them that God is amazing, because I wouldn't be in this position without God right now. So, yes, sir.
Jeremiah?
Man, that's such a loaded question. Off the top of my head, he could take you a long ways. However far you think you can go, he'll take you 10 times, 100 times. There's so much more, man. There is so much more. Like, 100, like, be all in. Like, just try it. You know, that's what I say. I say, just try it. Just give it a shot. Like, if you're like, teeter-tottering, like, I don't know if I should do this, or I don't know if I should do that, or I should be more accountable in this area of my life. Like, just try it. And just try it again. And just try it again. And then eventually you'll build some momentum, and then you'll be standing in front of a group of people like, how did I get here? And you'll be sharing a testimony. So I say, just try it. Yeah.
I think so many people that when their career is done, they battle so many, whether substance abuse, bankruptcy, depression. And I think it's cool to see you, as soon as your career is done, you're thriving. You're like, man, how, like, because identity is not in football. It's in Jesus. How does Sheridan have that smile on her face always, literally always? It's Jesus. How does DJ have faith when his mom was battling cancer? Well, it's because of Jesus. And so it's cool to see the impact that the Lord has had in all of your lives, and see it central to his life. I want to, can we give it up for these guys real quick? Give it up for these guys. Yeah, thanks. I appreciate y'all so much. I think the philosopher Samaje Piran once said, I asked him, he's certainly not a philosopher, but I love him so much. And the first year he did this, he's done a lot now. When I asked him, I said, well, what would you say to somebody that doesn't know the Lord or doesn't have a relationship with the Lord? And he was like, get one. I was like, you want to elaborate on that? And he's like, no, just get one. Oh, okay, cool. No worries. So, but I think in some levels, that's so profound, you know? Man, if you don't know the Lord, if you just think about the love of a father that sent his son to die so we could be forgiven and so we could be free, like for God to allow his son to die. I've got a daughter right here, a son on the back. And I love you. I wouldn't let my kids die for you. And maybe that makes me a bad dude. I don't know. I just couldn't do it. But to think that we have a father that loves us so much, he allowed his son to be the perfect sacrifice, not because Jesus screwed up, but because we were gonna screw up. So we could be forgiven and so we could be free. And he sent his son to die. But 3 days later, he rose again and he sits on the right hand of the Heavenly Father as your advocate. I mean, isn't that kind of weird? Like, he died because of your sin. Like, you would think he wouldn't be your advocate. He's like, I had to die because of you fools. But he's sitting on the right hand of the Heavenly Father as your advocate. Like, cheering for you, reading for you, wanting to have a relationship with you. And those of you that you don't have a relationship with God, he's not mad at you. He wants nothing more than to forgive you. If God wanted to punish you, he would have, because he's God. He can do whatever he wants. He wants to forgive you. He wants you to be alive. He wants to set you free. So let me pray over you this morning. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. God, we thank you for who you are and what you've done. God, I thank you for what you're doing in these incredible young athletes' lives. God, I thank you for what you've done, but I'm also excited to see what you're going to continue to do. If you're here today, and you would just be honest, and you would just say, I don't have a relationship with the Lord, but I want to. You know, following Jesus, it's literally about following Jesus. Repenting, it, like, that means to turn from. I'm not going to live life for myself anymore. I want to start living life for the Lord. And so if that's you with heads bowed and eyes closed across the room, you say, man, I don't want to live life for me anymore. I want to be forgiven of my sins, and I want to begin living life for a God who loved me so much. He sent his son Jesus to die. And I want Jesus to be my Savior, and I recognize him as my sacrifice for my sin. That's you all over the room. You want to be forgiven and you want to walk with the Lord. Will you just slip your hands up in the air so I can pray for you? Thanks. Thanks. Amen. Amen. Everybody pray this prayer together. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the resurrection. Forgive me my sins. I refuse to live for myself. I refuse to live for the world. I will live for you. I'll follow you. Thank you for saving me, setting me free. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for being my God and my Lord and my King. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks so much for joining us today. If you enjoyed today's message, I want to encourage you to like it or share it on social media and tag @VictoryFamily_. If you haven't already, download the Victory Family Church app to stay connected with everything that's happening throughout the week. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome week.